And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Herb Sewell joins me this hour with a story that is amazing. It's nothing short of amazing, and I want to get the entire details. I know, Herb, that you are at a function right now for a friend of yours. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes, Phil. This is for John Wayne Hall, who was remanded with me about the same time that I was remanded to Atascadero, and he has apparently he's violated his parole. He's going back for evaluation, 72-hour evaluation, at which time then the court intercedes to see whether or not he has to go back into the system, either at the Atascadero or into a facility. But we're having a dinner for him this evening.
All right. We're going to get into exactly who he is and who you are, but you have a story to tell that is truly an amazing story. Now, I know you're up in Santa Maria over the weekend. I want you to tell my audience what happened there.
Phil, I was near the Sloan Outlet store, the Sloan Outlet Malls, which is about 10 miles toward the California coast from Santa Maria. And I had gotten out of my car. I was over there. I was going over to a Radio Shack there to pick up some wires and some things that I needed for a computer. And there was a group of about six or seven people in front of this a Penguin's Frozen Yogurt store. And they were people there. There was a young boy who had stopped breathing. And I'd say there were probably about six or seven people. The people coming out of the store was a little bit confusing, but I could see there was a group of people. And this child had stopped breathing apparently from an asthma attack. And now, understand that I'd been in the Army briefly. I was discharged medically relative to many of the problems that I experienced that eventually wound up in Atascadero. But I had learned CPR when I was in the Army. And I asked someone what had happened. They told me the child had had an asthma attack, had stopped breathing. I asked, had they called 911? This gentleman had called 911. The mother of this child was not answering any questions. She was crying. She was trying to revive this child by shaking the child and by talking to him and so on. Now, understand, I know CPR. And please understand one other thing. I have a criminal record relative to pedophilia.
Exactly.
I have a criminal record relative to pedophilia, child stalking, and sodomy.
But, I mean, in a situation like that, do you have a choice?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I crouched down next to this woman who was hysterical. I told her I knew CPR, began to administer mouth-to-mouth, and I also did some chest compressions. By this time, and it couldn't have been more than 30 seconds, 45 seconds, an ambulance team from the Flona Valley, there was a fire and rescue unit that had arrived. They began administering to this child.
All right, now, did the kid come around?
Yes, the child was hospitalized. He's fine. The battalion chief from the fire department called, and I also got a call from the mother, who was a single mother. The woman's name was Cindy Castillo, and she was very grateful. She even said and she said these words to me, and I want you to note these, and I want your audience to note these. She said to me, there has to be some way to thank me.
Okay, did you tell her who you were and what you were?
Not yet, but I eventually told her. And I said to her, you said to me, there has to be a way to thank me. I want to take your son to Disneyland for the weekend. Now, understand.
Now, hold on, Herb, before you say anything, okay?
No, understand, I don't want to do anything. I simply want to go to Disneyland with that child. But now the ball is in her court. Now, understand something. I saved her boy's life. I got a call from the Flona Valley Fire Battalion Chief, basically thanking me. Oh, and by the way, one other thing. This did not appear in the media at all, because what happened was they did a background check on me. And I guess some of the some of the things I did came out. So, of course, it's not going to make the paper, which is fine. But
why do you want to take this kid to Disneyland?
That's really not for you to ask. It's really not for...
Why can't I ask?
Because I saved his life. And so, therefore, she can say no. But if she says no, then I've got this cow dead to rights, and I'll tell you...
You're calling this kid's mother a cow?
No, but let me tell you. There is a group of people who are trying to shut down the halfway house in which I reside, and Paul Walker Thomas and a few of the others, and they're a group of concerned citizens. There's a line with this blanket ship fellow who once the halfway house shut down. Now, every day you see one of these suburban women out there in front with their picket signs and so on and so forth. And this is going, it will show how morally bankrupt many of these people are if this woman says, no, I can't take her boy to Disneyland. Morally bankrupt and morally not credible. You know, so in other words, what I've got is I've got a dead to rights. And I think it's fascinating that...
Why? Let me ask you, just tell me, are you taking the kid to Disneyland because you just want to test her?
Pretty much, yes.
What if she said yes?
If she said yes, I'd take the kid to Disneyland.
And you swear on your honor that you would never do anything to harm that child?
I would never do anything to harm the child. But I think it's fascinating, Phil. I'm good enough to save, you know, a child molester is good enough to save a kid's life, but maybe he's not good enough to have a lousy cup of carnation ice cream with it. And that, as they say, is the rub, as Shakespeare wrote, you know. And I am, you know, I'll tell you something. When I told her that I had a criminal record relative to pedophilia, I could hear the woman sort of stop, pause. I said to her, now, why don't you just let that sink in? And she said, I will, Mr. Sewell. Thank you very much. And she hung up the phone. She hung the phone.
Well, I mean, you obviously scared her.
She hung up on a man that had just saved her son's life. You see what I'm saying? So I am giving her until Friday. And then I'm going to the Los Angeles Times with the story. And I'm not going to out this woman, but I am going to tell the Times the story of what's happening in our neighborhood and how they're trying to shut our halfway house down. And they want the pedophiles and the child molesters out. But, oh, by the way, my kid can't breathe. Would you mind giving him mouth to mouth? You see what I'm saying? It is hypocrisy at its quintessential best.
All right. That was the story. And I'm telling my audience right now, Herb, I'm going to give our number out, which is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. That's the story that you told me before we went on the air. So this whole thing, saving this kid's life...
No, I didn't plan on saving the kid's life. It just happened.
All right, well, you saw this kid, gave him mouth-to-mouth, then told the mother that you're a convicted child molester and you want to take the kid to Disneyland.
She said to me, there has to be some way I can thank you. And I said, well, guess what there is? I want to take your kid to Disneyland. And I looked her in the eye, and I said it almost with a leer, you know, because there comes a time when you have to test it.
Why would you scare the woman, man? I mean, that's what you're doing, you know?
In what way?
Well, you say it to her with a leer.
How could I want to kill the boy when I just saved his life? And furthermore, what position is she in to say no to me? No, you can't take my boy to Disneyland, but thanks for saving him from, I don't know, either the fires of hell or the beauty of heaven. I don't know what I saved him from. But I would
imagine if you believe in an afterlife, a kid probably has...
He's probably going to go to heaven, you're right. But I'm simply saying to you, this woman says to me, you know, there must be some way I can thank you. And I took note of that. I wrote it down, and I showed it because I was visiting Walter Bellhaven at Tascadero. And I wrote down, she'll do anything to thank me. I showed it to Walter. And I could see him, he sort of laughed. He could barely keep the laugh in because he knew it was not going to be.
Now, Walter Bellhaven, for people who are listening, is a friend of yours who is still at the Atascadero Forensic Hospital. It's a hospital, ladies and gentlemen, for the criminally insane. Okay?
Phil, that is an antiquated term, really. It's a hospital.
What would you call it?
It is a forensic hospital. It is a forensic hospital for offenders who need psychiatric hospitalization. We don't use the term criminally insane in terms of treatment of patients any longer. But I was up. I was bringing Walter some things. He wanted some magazines. And I went up to talk to him. And
you call this mother from his room?
We were in the day room.
You're in the day room. And you, what did you say?
I talked to the lady.
No, what did you say to Mr. Bellhaven?
I remember saying to her, I said, you want to have some fun? Watch this.
Do you want to have some fun? So in other words, to you, this is a big laugh.
Is it a laugh, Phil? I would ask you this. Is it a big laugh that a child's life was saved? Is it a big laugh that a mother has her son today? Is it a big laugh that I happened to be coming along at the time that I came along, and there wasn't one of those civilians that was there? And understand, Phil, that when you come from the world of horror that I come from, and let's be clear, I come from a world of horror. You know, there's no getting around it. When you come from the underside and the land of horror that I come from, everyone's a civilian. Everyone else is a civilian. I am and my kind, we are the only ones that we know of each other. So I saw these civilians there, and this child that couldn't breathe.
And your training from the Army, your CPR kicked in.
Well, I didn't see anyone administering this child the way they ought to. I asked, had anyone called an ambulance? They had. By the time I began to work on this child, as I said, I did mouth-to-mouth, and I did chest compressions.
And an ambulance showed up.
An ambulance showed up. Now, the mother says to me, there must be some way I can thank you. I said, yes, there is. I'd like to take your boy to Disneyland. And by the way, I spent 8 years at a Tascadero, and in this instance, I did use the term, hospital for the criminally insane for pedophilia.
See, that to me is you trying to scare that woman.
No, it's a moral test. It's not fear. It's a moral test. You see, Phil, I come from a world of unmitigated and unrelenting horror. And when you talk to a civilian and you let them in, you open that door and say, this monster just saved your child's life. Well, guess what? It's nut-cutting time. You know what I'm saying? So this to me is a fascinating study. I'm giving her till Friday, and then I'm going public with it.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, look at Herb. You saved a boy's life, and people will be grateful. What are you going to do? You're going to embarrass this woman in the process?
I'm going to test her and her big mouth. If she said to me, that I'll never be able to thank you, I'll say to her on Friday, you're right, you never were able to thank me, so I'm going to the L.A. Times with the story. And I'm breaking the story tonight on your program so that fair notice is given. I don't want this appearing in print.
Well, who's going to listen to you at the L.A. Times? Who's going to want to hear your story? Who's going to believe it?
All they have to do is call the battalion chief. I've got the names of three witnesses who saw it, and including the mother.
A boy's life is saved, and you are to be commended. You're using your saving of that boy's life to test this woman's moral fiber by asking to take her son to Disneyland.
And I won't lay a hand on the kid. Not a hand. Not a finger. Now, let's just see whether or not her big, fat mouth, whether she writes a check with a big mouth that her body can back up.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know, maybe you heard the story. I don't think it's appeared in print. With us is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is an academic researcher, but he spent 8 years in prison for pedophilia, sodomy, a variety of sex crimes against children, and after 8 years was released. He was at the Filona Mall the other day, administered mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a child that had stopped breathing, had an asthma attack, and apparently saved the kid, or at least saved the kid long enough for the paramedics to arrive. He got a call from the mother thanking him, asking what she could do to thank him, and he said, I'd like to take your kid to Disneyland for the weekend. And he fully admits, this is a moral test of her, and if she fails it, then he can call the people that are trying to drive him and his halfway house out of the neighborhood they're in, moral cowards, and the whole thing. I mean, if this doesn't sound, I swear to God, if I found out that he knew that kid and they set the whole thing up, man, that would make sense. Because this is the kind of thing where a man does something good, but he's trying to exploit it, I don't know, for self-interest. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, he is at a party. It's a going-away party for a friend of an individual he knows who has violated his parole and is going back to prison. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Herb Sewell is joining us here, the going-away party for...
Hold up just a minute. Goodbye, Jim. Sweet Jim. Good trip, sweetheart. See you when you get out. He is, Phil, as I mentioned to you, James is on his way back to... he's going back to Atascadero Folsom.
Was he also involved in the same kind of offenses? Or?
He was, yes, an offender. He actually did, along with Walter Belhaven, a report of a crime, a spree of child rape that took place in Sacramento, California in the early 1990s. And
good God.
It's a very sick world. But the point that I'm making is...
All right, but the point you're making is you gave CPR to a kid, you gave mouth-to-mouth to a kid. The mother said, how can I thank you? You want to take the kid to Disneyland.
Yes, I want to take the kid to Disneyland.
Why would any mother allow her child to go off with a convicted pedophile?
I saved the kid's life. That's why. I saved the kid's life. And
so you think that that's equal to...
Do I think it's equal? I think a trip to Disneyland is getting off easy. In other words, I saved that boy's life, and if the woman says, no, you can't because you're a pedophile, then I will then be able to hold her up as a shining example of the moral bankruptcy of these people who don't want to have child molesters living in their neighborhoods. I'll be able to use her as the poster child for bullcrap. And I can tell you...
Why, you sound really angry.
No, it's just that I've been down this road so many times before, and, you know, I saved the child's life, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, the battalion chief called me and said that that I bought them, the paramedics that had come from the search and rescue, precious moments. I wasn't looking to become a hero. Now she says, I'll never be able to thank you. I said, well, yes, you can. Let me take the kid to Disneyland for 2 days. And I looked at her. And I think I might have even worked up a little bit of saliva right in the corner of my mouth. just
to scare her.
Not to scare her, for sweet Christ's sake, Phil. It's to say, look into the face of horror, because that's what saved your kid. Now, if that's wrong...
Well, I mean, for God's sake, the woman finds out what your prison record is. Isn't that horrible enough? 1-800-449-8686. This is Carl. Go ahead, Carl. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, my name is Carl, and first of all, I was just saying, but me, I did 2 years in prison. And in prison, there's three types of people. There's inmates, there's predators, and there's convicts. And a predator is what your down the line is. And if he's an adult, if he has any children of his own, he know what he did was just moral. He just... save the kid's life.
I saved the child's life, so why can't I take the kid to Disneyland? What's the
point? Now, that right there, that's some predators type stuff. Only predators do things like that.
No.
You know, we don't need that in our community.
I'm trying to make a political point. All right, let me tell you something. I don't know where you were, but where I was in with some of the most vicious murderers that this world has ever seen. So vicious that they're remanded to a psychiatric hospital. You know? So, I've seen some pretty hardened people.
Walter Bellhaven, who you called this lady from his room, that guy's up. How many people did he kill? 200?
They think 200, yes.
You know what? You know, you're probably working around some of the sickest people on this planet. I was around people that was in prison for murder. You were in prison for murder.
What do you mean,
preyed on children.
What do you mean
children?
You were in prison for murder? What do you mean you were in prison? Is this man listening to what I'm saying?
What are you saying?
What do you mean murder?
Murder, killing people, those are heinous people.
Well, no. But what did you do?
You know what? I'd rather sit down and have coffee with them than be around a person like you.
But what? Did you kill someone?
No, I didn't. I was there for aggravated assault.
Oh, is that all?
I kicked somebody in the head with a boot. And I did 2 years.
You kicked someone in the head with a boot, and I'm supposed to take it in the shorts because I played with a kid's thing.
You know
what? Come on, man.
I paid my restitution. I paid the guy's doctor bill. I wrote him a letter and sincerely apologized. What you did, you took something from that child that he can never get back.
I did electroshock. I did insulin shock. I was in all kinds of medical experimentation plans. I was like one of Joseph Mengele's twins, if you want to get right down to it. And I'll tell you right now, I would never lay a hand on a child. Oh, he hung up. The big bad boy from prison. You know, Phil, I'm going to go back out of the room, make sure we've got coffee. We got coffee. My mother is here. She's serving coffee. And
see, that's another thing. Your mother, who you have told the doctors, you've told me, was responsible for your state of mind. She sexually molested you.
I don't want to talk about my mother right now.
All right. But she's there serving coffee, huh?
Yes, my mother's serving coffee.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Herb Sewell. About the, I don't know if you heard the story. I'm going to get this name right, if I can. Castillo boy, who had asthma, was literally not breathing when Herb came upon him when a group of other people that he administered mouth to mouth. He had CPR training in the Army. The battalion chief at the fire and rescue said that he contributed to saving the child's life. The mother said, how can I thank you? And he said, I'd like to take your kid to Disneyland for the weekend. Now, this is a guy 8 years inside for pedophilia. Herb feels it's owed to him because he saved the kid's life. And by the way, he's at a going away party for, who is it? James Wayne Thomas, who violated his parole 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You're nothing more than a liar.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're back with we're back here with Herb Sewell. 1-800-449-8686. For the record, Herb, you are a historical researcher.
For the record, Phil, if you want to know, I'm one of the considered to be, and I don't. I honestly don't know. I think myself, along with Stephen Ambrose and a few others, I'm considered to be one of the leading authorities on World War II history in the United States, and I do some academic research and assistance. I'm not allowed to work specifically on any campus, even though we're talking about college campuses. You're talking about adults, primarily 18-year-old individuals plus. But in any event, part of the terms of my probation has to do with staying away from any educational facility. But I can't work online, and I do some research for a wonderful man by the name of Dr. Hall, who works at the University of Indiana, is tenured there, and I just do research for a number of people.
All right, you saved the life of a boy up at the Philona Outlet Malls over this past weekend by administering mouth-to-mouth. The Philona Valley Fire and Rescue has publicly credited you with helping save minutes, and you spoke with the child's mother, a woman by the name of Cindy Castillo. She said to you, quote, I don't know how to, I'm going to, what did she say exactly?
She said, how can I ever thank you? And I said, well, guess what? I've got the way. And
now, you said you leered at her. Why?
I wanted to let her know the man that had saved her child's life was a man who came from a vault of horror. And
a vault of horror, man. I mean, in other words, you're reveling in this fear.
No, I'm not. I want her to know exactly. Look, I didn't paint this picture of myself. Society at large has painted this picture of myself. And
you know what you did was horribly wrong. Terribly wrong.
Absolutely. I know I'm a monster. I know I'm a monster. Walter Belhaven doesn't know he's a monster. All Walter knows is he's sitting in a day room, and he's reading Arbor magazines, you know, and he's calling Dr. Laura, and he's crank-calling Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and he's been on four times on a show, which I find to be absolutely hysterical.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Walter Belhaven has crank-called Dr. Laura's show and has gotten on four times.
Yes.
What has he said?
I don't know. You have to talk to him. I think one time he was posing as, you know, a husband whose wife is having an affair. Another time he poses as a young student who is, you know, is engaged, and his girlfriend doesn't want him. You know, he doesn't like her family. And he plays different parts. He does it for jollies. He does it just for giggles. And
all right. Well, let's get back to you. So anyway, you saved this kid's life. Now you want to take the kid to Disneyland.
Yes, and I'm not going to lay a hand on the kid. I'm not going to do anything to the kid. But that doesn't matter to the mother. The mother thinks I'm a monster. And the mother, even though I saved that kid's life, the mother would say no to me. How do you say no to a man who saved your brat's life? How do you say no to the man who saved your little rugrat's life? That's what I'd like to know. I'd like an answer to that question, Phil. You know, I don't think there is one.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to our phone calls here. Kim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Herb Sewell.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Mr. Sewell. Hi, Phil.
Hello.
I guess my big question, as a victim of molest myself, is...
Of what?
You keep saying... I said, as a victim of molestation myself, I guess, why would it be okay for a chaperone to accompany you?
No.
With the child?
No,
and you
not.
No.
No.
And why not?
Because I saved the child's life.
I don't understand.
I don't think that there are any preconditions.
You're not going to put a hand on this child.
Absolutely.
You're not going to hurt the child.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone is in any position to put any preconditions on what I ask. Given the fact that were it not
but
for
you,
me,
you made the choice.
The child would be roasting in hell right now if it wasn't for
this. This is a child roasting in hell?
Well, wherever the child would be.
Child just went from heaven to hell.
I'm just saying, given the fact that I saved his life, I don't see where anyone morally has the right to put any preconditions. You know,
but you can put the conditions on it.
I'm just simply asking. She said, how can I thank you? I said, let me take you to Disneyland.
And you haven't given her a chance to answer. Is that correct?
I'm giving her till Friday.
Okay, but you're assuming that she's going to say, absolutely not, you're a monster, no way.
No, I don't know what she's going to say. I'm simply saying she's got till Friday. It's been 3 days.
And so it's kind of like you know, Phil was saying, it's you're laying down the gauntlet. You know, you're morally bankrupt if you
right.
don't.
Is there a reason
yes
why you called? Because you're sort of repeating everything I've said back to me, and I find you
no,
tedious.
No, actually, I wanted to know if you
I
would
be you
okay
bit,
with what you said, the probation.
I find you a little, almost tedious, you know. I find, look at it, Kim.
You're like a Hannibal Lecter, aren't you?
No, no. It's just that I would love to see your head on the end of a stick someplace, you know.
That's why the mother would say no. You probably are a gracious, you're an eloquent man. You're interesting.
No, and I don't think you were molested. I don't think you even know what. I don't think you know how to spell molest. I think you're just on here trying to goad me into wanting to mount you and then tear your head off and mount it on a rake.
Oh, God.
Well, she's just pissing me off. See, it's a whore like that. See, this is where I begin to hear the voices. Not that I'm schizophrenic, but when I talk to a woman like that, I begin to feel the scratching at the lid door. You know.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm able to keep everything in a box, but when that something like that comes into my life, I hear the scratching on the lid door. Things want out. You know? And I'm able to keep them contained. But when I hear someone say they were molested and they never were, because they want to be a part of some clique. I suppose the same way some men react when they hear a man say, I was a veteran of war, and he never was. You know, all you want to do. And with her, I would even consider dismembering her and cooking her and eating her.
Hello.
I'm here. Amy, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I just want to say that the stuff
uh-huh.
that you're saying and
yes,
the political statement that you want to make
yes,
shows
ma'am.
How sick that you really are and that
what,
you haven't changed.
What
otherwise,
political?
You wouldn't be doing it for that reason. I mean, why did you save his life? Why?
Because the young man was in need.
Because it was the right thing
there.
To do or because you want
there.
Recognition for
can you,
it?
Can you hold on? Let me answer your question.
Yes.
If you know anything about people who are considered to be heroes, when they're asked afterwards, why did you do it, they simply say, because I had to do it. You don't think about it. I just did it. I was the only one there apparently who knew CPR.
So your gratification should be that you saved his life. That should be good enough.
Wait a minute. The mother asked me, not you, Amy. The mother asked me, what can I do to thank you? So you got nothing to do with it.
Well, I have my listeners calling in to give their input on a man who did 8 years for pedophilia and is now demanding to be alone with a child for a weekend because he saved the kid's life.
Yeah. Kind of tightens your shorts, doesn't it? Real dilemma, isn't it?
Well,
you see, this is what I call the world of the
sick. Yeah, shows how sick that you really are, that you haven't changed
wait a minute,
at all.
Wait a minute. I'm sick.
The fact that you want recognition for it.
I saved a child's life, so I can't be sick.
So?
Oh, that's no big deal? Oh,
yeah,
I see. All right.
Deal,
well, I'll tell the mother. I'll tell the mother that Amy says saving her kid
lives.
Isn't such a big thing.
Doctors save kids' lives every day. That doesn't take back what you did.
You know, lady, if it was your kid, you'd be. I swear to God, if it was your kid, you'd offer to marry me.
Oh God.
Right.
So you don't care that much about your children.
If it was my kid, no, it wouldn't.
I don't think you have kids because if you did,
I do have
understand.
Kids.
You'd understand
I do have kids.
How meaningful it is that a child's life was saved.
It is very meaningful, but that doesn't mean that you have the right to take the child away for the weekend by yourself.
I didn't say that I had the right. I asked her.
Yeah, but if she doesn't say yes...
Doesn't mean she should say yes.
If she doesn't say yes, you're going to go to the L.A. Times.
I'm simply going to go to the L.A. Times and say
that. Well, you know what? When you go to the L.A. Times, you're going to make a complete fool out of yourself because anybody who's not sick and twisted is going to understand exactly why that mother wouldn't do it and how because you saved a life doesn't make it okay for you to take a child just because you say you won't touch him.
Oh, I see. So, in other words, anyone who thinks like Amy is going to see everything your way. I'm sure they all think your way at the L.A. Times, Amy. Well, guess what? I deal in the real world. I come from a world of horror.
No, you don't.
A world of horror and
war.
And I can tell you that in the real world, there's all kinds of moral duplicity. People sometimes say one thing and do something else. I saved that child's life.
That's right, there is. But there's nothing
worse
than what you do.
So in other words, I save a kid's life. I'm good enough to do that, but not good enough to have a lousy thing of cotton candy with a brat.
Nobody asked you to save his life.
Get a load of her, Phil. No one asked me to
Nobody
save his life.
Nobody asked you to do it.
Well, look at her.
No, and I didn't ask for anything in return. The lady asked me what I wanted. I didn't go up to her and say, what do you want? Or what can I have?
Yeah, but you're saying if she doesn't let you take her kid to Disneyland for the weekend, you're going to try to make a moral issue out of it and make a fool
out of
her.
Well, maybe she shouldn't have opened her cow mouth and asked me.
Why do you refer to a woman whose child you saved as a cow?
Well, because it's who I am. I'm sorry.
because you're sick and you shouldn't be alone with children, ever.
Really? Even when I'm saving their life?
Even then.
See, I kind of hang Amy up a little bit.
Even then.
Because she doesn't have children.
Yeah, I do have children. I have my daughter standing right here.
Well, let me talk to your daughter for a minute.
Yeah, right.
No, she's not going
to
let you.
I said to let
never.
Me talk to the kid.
Not
why not?
Years.
Are you afraid I'm going to start making sense to the kid? Are you afraid the kid's
smarter
than you?
No, I'm not afraid of anything. I would never suggest
Amy,
my daughter to
that,
even listen to the likes of you.
Are you afraid that your child is smarter than you, is going to understand me, that you don't? Is that what you're afraid of? You're afraid your child will grow up to be something bigger and better than you?
Will you shut up?
I hope she is.
Well,
I hope
she does grow up to be
bigger.
I want to know. I want to ask her. All right, then ask her for me. How old is your child?
I'm not going to ask her anything for you.
How old is he?
Anyways, you're getting off the subject of
how
you
old is it?
Because that you don't like what I'm saying.
No, it's because
why are you talking about me and my kid? This is about
I
you.
I presented something to you that
it's
you can't answer.
And you're taking
said,
a kid to Disneyland, and you don't like what I have to say because you know it's
no,
true, so you
no.
want to turn it around on me.
No, lady, I simply said, isn't it worth it for a child's life to be saved? And you said,
yeah,
no,
it
isn't.
Is, and that's
you said,
great,
no,
thank
it isn't.
You.
You said you'd rather see your child killed than have me save your child.
No, I
yes,
didn't
you
say
did.
That.
That's what I'm going to tell your daughter. You said that.
I'll tell
get
you
the
what,
kid on the phone.
Don't.
Say,
she's not.
I
said
to
get
say,
the kid. I
want to
say, mommy told
me
she'd rather see you cook on a spit.
Let
no,
me
no, you're not going to finish. I want to talk to your brat. And I'm going to tell her that Amy said she'd rather see you die roasting on a spit with cannibals dancing around, licking their fat lips, than see you go to Disneyland with Herb Sewell.
I'd rather.
All right, I didn't hear anything that anybody said because everybody's talking over everybody.
What?
I said I didn't hear anything that anyone said because everyone was talking
what
to everybody.
What I said is if I knew
what I said was
child
that
molester,
I want to talk to that girl and I will tell her that her mother doesn't think her life
her
is
life,
going
to
be
but he'd have to
served
take her to
and she doesn't care about it. La.
Oh, will you?
La. Phil, listen, I'm telling you right.
Shut up.
But Phil,
no.
But I...
No!
Bastard.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Crap is not really the word for it. Crap is solid.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
No, that's not what she said.
What I said was, I wanted to talk to that woman's daughter, because what do you want, Larry? Shut up. Just because your husband's going to prison. I'm just joking around with some of the guests. They're all leaving right now, Phil. We just had a big birthday cake for John, and he's going to be... U.S. Marshal's going to be meeting him in a moment. But what I wanted to say was this. That woman that I talked to just moments ago, her daughter was there. I simply wanted to let her daughter know that her mother would rather see her die than enjoy a weekend at Disneyland.
No, that's not what the mom said. They don't want you to take their kid to Disneyland. Look, if I was that woman, I'd say, do what you're going to do, man. You're not taking my kid to Disneyland. I thank you very much.
Well, then how would you thank me?
I'd cut you a check.
Money, is that it? Money for saving your child's life?
Yeah.
How much?
I'd probably give you about $100.
$100?
That's right.
Now I know you're kidding.
Well, you know what, man? There's no winning with you. There's no winning with you. I mean, I can say to you, look, thank you very much for saving my child's life. I'll never be able to repay the debt, but given your criminal record, I can't let you go to Disneyland with him.
Well, that is the essential hypocrisy of what I call the bourgeois whore. You see, Phil, while they love to talk about what's best for their children, they, in essence, don't know. The bourgeois whore, which marries the bourgeois pimp, they live on Pimp Street. And the whore drives her whore wagon and takes the little whorelets to school.
What is this?
This is, I am defining for you, the world that we live in. And these people are pointing at me. Yes, I know I'm a ghoul. I know I'm a monster. I look in the mirror every day, and what do I see? I look at something that crawled out of a crypt. I understand who I am. But does the bourgeois whore and pimp, do they know who they are? No, they don't. He goes to work in his pimpmobile. She drives the children to school in the whore wagon. And then she goes off to the whore store, otherwise known as a grocery store. And she buys whore chow and pimp chow.
Don't forget Horlet Chow.
And you're making fun of me.
No, I'm not making fun of you, you moron. You sound like a Horlet Chow. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Herb Sewell in a moment on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, if I say that I want to cut someone's head off and stick it on a fence post, people will say that I'm mad because I've done time in a psychiatric hospital. However, if I said I wanted to cut Bin Laden's head off and stick it on a fence post, they'd say I'm a hero. So what we're doing is we're assembling a round table of people, a think tank, on how we can get the message out that sometimes dismembering a human being and mounting their head on a brick wrought iron post is not a bad thing.
If it's the right person.
That's right.
We're with Sue. Go ahead, Sue. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Herb Sewell.
What a train wreck. The guy is absolutely insane. You're insane.
Yeah, I'm insane because I saved a child's life.
No, it doesn't. It's near
doesn't
dear,
matter.
Dear,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not your kid, so why do you care, right? Well, it mattered to that lady.
Well, of course it matters to that lady. That is a heroic act, but you're asking for something. You're insane. You are absolutely insane.
No, no, you're insane because you can't find a way to logically reconcile your point of view. You know I deserve to ask for anything.
No, you don't. You don't own that kid.
Most people who do good deeds do not ask for anything in return, even when they're asked.
What's that got to do with being right?
You're not right. How are you right?
Because most people aren't always right. Most people might, for instance, Sue, most people might want to take your head and stick it on wrought iron. I wouldn't. I don't think that's right.
I don't.
Oh,
that makes no sense. No, that makes no sense.
I bet you if
whatsoever.
I took your head off and put it on wrought iron, you'd still be talking. Just this head going.